This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
All right, handsome, I got you. Here we go. What's up, Al? How are you?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. So, you know, we do a lot of driving because we live further out than, anybody really in this area. If you actually go into an office, the commutes are longer in this area,
sure.
Which means you and I get more gas than usual, you know. So I feel like I'm always getting gas. Like, I'm getting gas, like, every 3 days.
Well, you also live another 30 minutes further south than me. I remember those days when I lived in Brick.
I'm like 120, 130 miles a day.
All right, I'm 76.
Okay. So, like, I'm going, like, every three or four days, like,
yeah.
Twice a week. But this pumping, how in New Jersey you can't pump your own gas.
Oh, it's mind-numbing.
It is driving me insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should not be on my brain, like, oh, I can't believe I got to stop and get gas.
Yeah, I know. And you got to wait for some guy to hope he's awake, number one.
Right.
Number two, hope he's in the mood to actually do it. And number three, hope there's not four other cars there.
Right, because in New Jersey, now there are some places that do an outstanding job where there's a person working for every island.
Mm-hmm.
But for most cases, and maybe it's the time of day I'm going like at noon when I get home from my work, you know, it's like one person working, they're super slow,
mm-hmm.
they're always... Who they're talking to on their earpiece phone.
It's constant, I know.
It's got to be another gas station person, because who else has the time to be
I don't know.
On the phone all day with these guys? It just takes forever.
Yes, it does. It's become a process.
Yeah. And, you know, I put this out there yesterday on, I did a Twitter poll in the afternoon.
Okay.
That if you live in New Jersey, if you had the option to pump your own gas, would you do that most of the time?
Okay. Can I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 80-20 yes.
59-41 yes.
41% of the people who responded don't want to do it?
Yeah. They're like, screw that, man. You know, sometimes the weather's bad. Sometimes it's cold. I don't want to put my hand on the nozzle. I don't want to smell like gasoline. Hmm. There's a million things.
Wow. That actually surprises me.
Me too.
I
can't stand it. And I was always going to this one right in my town. And the guy is so slow.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? On my way home yesterday, I go, there's a mobile station on my way home that never looks busy. I said, I'll stop by there. Pull into the mobile. The guy is on the phone with somebody. I tell him, fill regular. Ch-ch-ch. I glance over it, and I'm over $50. I'm like, I have a small car. He punched in the middle gas, 89.
Yeah, plus.
Plus. It was an extra almost $9.
Yeah.
I go, dude, you put the wrong gas. And he goes, oh, sorry, bro. Okay.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing I can do about it.
The only time I ever won that was because they gave you the gas. It is what it is. And it's, you know what, you didn't catch it on time because you got to stop it. The only time I ever won that was when I know my car is 10 gallons. I know that. So when I see that gas, let's just, for math's sake, it's $30. I know a $3 a gallon, it's going to be $30. One time I looked over and it was at 36 and still going. And I saw it was on 87. I saw it was regular. I'm like, what the hell? And he was nowhere to be found. So I got out to stop it. I get out. He didn't have the pump all the way in and it was flowing out.
Oh.
So I stopped it at 38. And the guy comes over. I'm like, dude. He's like, oh, sorry. I'm like, here's $30. I'm like, I have a 10-gallon tank. You just spilled $8 of gas. and it was all there. And he's like, I'm sorry. And that was it. But other than that, if the gas is in the car, got screwed.
Yeah, I got screwed.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. And when I used to drive for Columbia, not for the team, I used to drive myself to games. I couldn't wait to get into Pennsylvania or up into wherever we were going, where it was self-serve. It was tremendous.
Yeah.
Didn't have to worry about anything.
Now we are legitimately the last place in the country.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oregon was the other one, but last year they did self-serve. Like, give me the option.
I agree.
I would actually pay more to pump my own gas.
So would I. If you told me it was an extra 20 cents a gallon for a self-serve island and you wanted to leave the full serve at the lower price, done.
Yep.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
It's just so frustrating that the amount of time it takes to get gas is silly.
Kind of like I would pay more to use the overhead bin on a plane, knowing it will be available because not everybody wants to spend that extra money.
Yes.
They'll put it for free. But they don't do that either.
We are willing to pay for convenience.
Yes, we are. And that's not a New Jersey thing. That's an airline thing. But, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, anytime I bring this up, Gina thinks, like, the power of the podcast is going to get this legislation changed in New Jersey. She's like, I don't want to pump my own gas. You and Jerry got to stop talking about that. Don't bring it up on the show.
Oh, she doesn't want a pump gas.
No.
She likes it. Okay.
She loves that you could just pull in and...
Yeah, no, I think it's for the birds.
For the birds.
I don't understand it. Never did.
I also had a lot of people reach out to me and said, oh, you know, you could just get out and pump it yourself. Most of the guys don't care.
Most of them don't, but if you come across one that does, you're going to have a fight on your hands.
Not only that, a lot of the gas stations I go to, they have to slide their card in first. This is what part of the process.
That is true.
They slide their employee card in. Then they slide my credit card in. Some of them, you ever get gas right outside the Holland Tunnel here? They ask for your zip code.
Yes, to verify the card.
Yeah. So that's a whole process.
I think because it's a high theft area, perhaps. That's the only thing I can think of. Yeah. I don't know. The older school gas stations, though, will not, like the Wawas and the Quick Checks, they'll have to put their card in.
They do.
But the older school stations, probably not. Like an old Mobil or an old Exxon. You're probably good.
Yeah.
You can probably get out and just pump your own gas.
See, the Wawa near me, I believe they do have a person for every pump. But it is gigantic.
Yep.
And I feel like I'm going to crash every time I go in the parking lot. It's just chaos.
Yeah. Wawas and the Quick Checks, they have a lot of pumps, but there are too many pumps.
Too many pumps. Yeah. Too many people racing in and out, trying to get their coffee run in. It's too much for me.
I agree. And then the Costco fuel is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
To save 9 cents a gallon?
Right.
Guys, what are we doing?
Going to wait in line like it's 1978 when I was a child.
Or I was going to say after Superstorm Sandy, where we were waiting on line for gas, too.
Right.
That's another thing.
Yeah, not doing that.
Nope, I agree.
Frustrating.
Not to save 9 cents a gallon. Not that important.
And no matter what time you go by that Costco gas station, packed.
And by the way, those are the same people that probably just left Costco that spent $400 on crap for 12 items.
Right. We definitely need this gigantic wheel of cheese.
Let's save 90 cents on gas.
This is nuts. My father used to love to find the cheapest gas.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. He would like keep a pad.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He would love to like, I don't know. I guess it was just part of the like trying to get one over on the man if you get the cheapest gas, even though you're going out of your way.
And wasting gas by trying to find the cheapest gas.
Then I had people reaching out to me going, you know, in these other places where you can pump your own gas, a lot of cars get stolen because when you're pumping, the people jump in and steal your car.
Define a lot.
I don't know.
Three.
Yeah, I said, well, then how about this? I would get out, take my key with me, and lock my door.
Key. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Always take your keys with you. I saw it was a Jeep. It was you know, the back spare wheel is on the back of a Jeep. So the Jeep cover is always cool. Sometimes it's nothing more than a black cover. Sometimes it's it can be something witty.
A hilarious saying.
This said anti-millennial security device. Or I'm sorry, not device. Automobile or vehicle. That's what it was. And it had the diagram of a 5-speed. I've actually thought of that here in New York. Like when I've parked my car and you think, if anyone ever stole my car, could they even drive it?
Yeah.
Since I have the 5-speed. And I don't know. I'm sure some could. I bet you most wouldn't. They'd be grinding that 5-speed down.
They'd be stalling.
And
wouldn't even
know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you would need a veteran aged thief. You need a thief in his late 40s, early 50s.
That knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And even with that, not so simple, because it takes you a few minutes in these new cars to figure out how to reverse with these.
It's not the same.
No. I mean, hell, I've gone to, as you know, it's been kind of cool when I pull up at a golf course, say, where they have a valet. And when you play with Boomer, sometimes that does happen. And the guy gets in and he goes, yeah, do you want to just put it right here? It'll be here when you're done. Because they don't know how to drive it.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. Like, that's perfect for me.
Mm.
Very funny.
I might need to get a stick shift just for that reason.
I love the 5-speed, man. I really do. And I sit there, and as we've discussed, as my car is now at 230,000 miles,
wow.
I think. No. I'm sorry. Not 230. That's when I said we're going to start looking for another car. I'm at 160. I forget what the number is. Whatever. My point is, I start looking. I'm thinking in another year, maybe. I got to start really thinking about it. There are no options for a 5-speed. I say, right. I love the Prius. There's no 5-speed in the Prius. It's just, you got to find something that's old.
Yes. Yeah.
I already have something that's old.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It is weird that it's hard. Even things that used to not even give you the option, like the Jeeps that wasn't an option.
That was standard.
Yeah, and most of the pickup trucks were all stick shift.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah. And like sports cars. Like the idea that you, like, I remember that used to like annoy my father, that the fact that like you would, that somebody could buy a Porsche with an automatic. He's like, that's not the point of getting a Porsche, is because you drive the Porsche with the stick shift.
Right. If I ever got a Mustang, I want the 5s. I want a 6-speed.
Yeah.
I don't want an automatic.
Right.
You know, now I had a Camaro, but it was my first car. I didn't know how to drive a 5-speed. That wasn't automatic.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, would have been better with a 5-speed.
Right.
But I didn't know how to drive it.
Until sometimes you need to be like, I bought a car, a pickup truck that was 5-speed, and I didn't know how to drive it.
Well, yeah, that's what I did.
Right. Then you have real motivation to figure it out.
Yeah, because I couldn't drive anything else. Yeah. So I had nothing else. That's when I dropped the plow on the parkway by mistake. Doing 60 miles an hour.
That must have been some spark.
Oh, it was some bang, too. I got news for you. It was loud.
Now, you wanted me to remind you of something, Jerry. You said YouTube or something.
So this was interesting. So, as you know, my younger son is hooked on golf, and he watches this Bob Does Sports religiously, even more so, I think, now than Gio does. And so a new one came out last week, and it was on his list. And he's like, he actually said to me yesterday, he goes, I thought you'd be interested in this because I know you and Mom saw him. I'm like, what? He goes, some guy named Sebastian. I'm like, who? So it was Sebastian Maniscalco played with them. I'm like, I'll watch that. Absolutely. So whatever. It's not the point of the show. That's not my point. In the middle of it, Sebastian Maniscalco asks the guy, Bob, who basically runs that's his thing. Like, he said, when I go to a show, I know it's popular before I get there because I see tickets are sold out and I see tickets on the secondary market. He goes, so for me, it's easy. Now it's up to me to perform and do a good job and keep them to wanting to come back. He goes, clearly you guys have gotten an audience and people are coming back. He goes, but how did you know you were doing well? Like, was there a point where all of a sudden it clicked and he started laughing? He goes, oh, there was a point. He goes, we were pumping videos out and weren't doing so great. And then all of a sudden there was one video where he told his playing partner that he was taking him to Torrey Pines, which is prestigious, as one of the best public courses you can play in the country. And he woke him up at 4:30 in the morning. The guy fell asleep in the car. And when he woke up, he was in the parking lot of a 1-star rated golf course. And it was brutal. And he flipped out. And the whole time they're playing, he's yelling at him and cursing at him. He goes, that episode, for whatever reason, caught someone's attention. And somehow it got moved around and however the algorithms worked. And from that point forward, we've never done less than this amount of viewers, and we've made money ever since. But it was a grind. It was a grind. It was, and then bam, it was the one episode that clicked with somebody that somehow passed it around.
And I think that's what they say about people that are doing stuff on YouTube and how that get very popular. How do they do? And they all talk about you have to just keep putting stuff and hope one of them hits. And then your other stuff will be looked at.
Yep. And then,
Well, one of the things I don't understand, there are a couple things that I subscribe to on YouTube. Not a lot, but a handful of things. And one of them is that Bobby approves guy, right?
Yeah.
But I just say this just on, let me, Flav City, he's called. I just wanted to look at, like, the amount of subscribers someone has.
Yeah.
And then the amount of videos their videos get. Okay. So, Bobby Parrish is the Flav City guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. He has on YouTube 5.26 million subscribers.
Wow.
This is an enormous number.
I didn't know it was that big. Wow.
But when you look at his videos, 114,000 views out of...
out of 5 million subscribers?
5.2 million subscribers. He's got, you know, 140,000, 200,000. Me too.
That would tell me that a lot of people have subscribed and forgotten about me.
Right.
And aren't interested anymore. That is a bad percentage.
There's a handful of them that have a lot, but the majority of them, like if you look at like the latest videos, like here's a video. This video has been up 10 days, 147,000. 2 weeks, video's got 193,000. So somebody, if you get 10,000 followers on YouTube, what is your amount that you're getting actually viewing your videos?
Based on that, nothing. 500 views?
Really weird.
Because 100,000 out of 5 million?
Yeah.
So that would be like 1 over 50. That's like 0.5%.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't understand.
That's a bad conversion rate.
And I wonder how, like, yeah, when you look at the popular ones, what their conversion, like, what's Mr. Beast's conversion rate?
I don't know, but now you're talking about a guy that's in the hundreds of millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one.
Is it a similar math equation for these folks?
I don't know. I mean, I can do that very quickly, too, for you, because I can put up Mr. Beast. I mean, he comes right up. It's amazing.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast. So Mr. Beast right now has 247 million subscribers. And his, let's see here. 3 weeks ago, he posted a video that got 147 million views. That's a high. That's a
50% of his people.
It's more than that. 147 over 247.
Yeah.
That's 60%. Let's see here. Here's one from, that's 4 years ago. That doesn't count. I'm trying to come up with something that's recent. But I tell you, some of these views, oh my God, one from 4 years ago, 380 million views. Oh my God. So.
Aren't there only like 330 million people in the United States?
I don't know. Well, if you remember watching, I don't know if you ever watched it on him.
I did.
His are worldwide.
Yeah.
And he has translators and they do all sorts of different things to make sure that people get it. All right. So it looks like his latest video, if I'm looking at this right. His latest video was 3 days ago, 174 million. My eyes are bad. I think that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at this Bobby approved ones.
Yeah.
And I typed in his most popular ones.
Okay.
So his most popular one has 10 million views.
Yeah.
Then it goes down to 3.9 million. Man.
So Mr. Beast's most popular one has 910 million views.
Oh, he's almost at a billion views, Jerry.
Yeah, and then it goes to 590, then 410, and then a lot of them in the 300 millions. Think about that. That is so many people.
Well, it's weird even like when we look at, and the Twitter algorithms are a mess. You know, like
yeah.
If you're not in the algorithms, like we'll look at, you know, what FAN has as far as like however many followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then what do the video views get? And they're not even close to the.
No.
It's so, the way, and the problem with these things is that these companies like YouTube and Twitter, they'll decide, oh, we're changing the algorithms. Then maybe you were popular on there.
And now all of a sudden you're not.
Yeah, all of a sudden we can't find you. Because it's not that your people won't find you. It's about growing your audience. Like, when will the next group of people find you?
Mm-hmm. And will they?
Yeah.
Not only when, will they?
Yeah. I was looking at statistics for this very podcast, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so confused by them. Because without giving away the numbers, which I'm sure someone would yell at me for, if you look at the, I don't know if you ever look at the charts and graphs they send us. Yeah.
I don't understand some of them.
Today I really looked at it like I want to understand this. And to me, I feel like this podcast, it's out Monday through Friday. It's not relying on guests, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I mean that in a way, like there shouldn't be a huge variant as to how many listeners we have a day. Because it's not like you're like, oh, you had Joe Klecko on. We're not interested in Joe mm-hmm. Klecko. Not, or, oh, you had Joe Rogan on your podcast. Now you've got all these. Like, it's pretty even. But according to the statistics, it looks like a large amount of people listen to a couple episodes a month as opposed to a small amount of people listening to all the podcasts.
Really?
Which doesn't make sense to me.
No, that doesn't make sense to me either.
At all.
Usually if you like something, you usually listen to it. I'm not saying daily, but you listen to it more often than not.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why I always worried about doing a podcast that was guest-oriented, because I think then you look and you go, oh, I'm not interested in this person. Even if it was an interesting conversation, there's so much to choose from.
I'm a very good example of that.
Yeah.
If I see a guest that I'm not interested in, I don't even bother.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that's me.
Because there's too many other things.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't really try real hard. If I like, there are a couple of podcasts I like, and if I don't like the guest or the topic, I actually just listen to the radio. I mean, that's just.
Yeah. You know. I remember even listening when Howard Stern was dominant on the regular radio. And I remember there were times where I would put it on, I'd be like, oh, he's going to talk to Roseanne Barr. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
And then you're locked in.
And I go elsewhere and I get bored and I go, oh, I guess I'll go back to this. And then it turns out really great.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because you love Howard Stern and he brings out what you want to hear out of the guests.
I guess so, yeah. And that's happened even with Joe Rogan, where it's like, there's a bunch of different podcasts I listen to, but if I've listened to them all on my commute and I don't have any, and there's a Joe Rogan one sitting there, and I'm like, I guess I'll listen to this. And then they turn out to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Then have you ever had the opposite happen?
When you're very excited for a guest and it stinks?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That is the worst.
That is frustrating. That is beyond frustrating. I agree with you. Yeah.
I've had that with the Marc Maron podcast mm-hmm. sometimes, where I was like, oh man, this is going to be great. And a lot of times he would do in his podcast, he would go chronological. Yeah, how'd you grow up? How'd you get into this? Then you did this.
Right.
And there'd be a guest where I was like, oh, I can't wait to. And then he doesn't do that for this guest.
Really?
I'm like, oh.
He throws you off.
Throws me off.
Yeah. Yeah, listening habits are odd.
Yes.
And I really don't think there's an exact science to it.
Yeah.
As much as we try. Everybody's different. Everybody's different.
And people subscribe to things and download things that they never end up getting to.
Absolutely.
Right.
That they don't listen to. I'm guilty of that too. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
That's what I do like about YouTube. When you do subscribe to a channel.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget that I subscribe to something and it pops up because I'm a subscriber. I'll watch that. Otherwise I forget about it. You know?
Yeah. But have you done even with Netflix where you put something on your list?
I don't have a list.
Oh, okay. See, I'll have a list.
Okay.
And then that thing will just sit on my list for weeks. I'm like, I know I'm not going to watch this. I should get this off my list. Because I've had opportunities. And I haven't. But at some point I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting.
That's kind of like putting a song, liking a song on Spotify, even though you're really like, I don't know. And then it comes up in rotation like, no, skip.
Yeah.
Why did I ever put that there?
Yeah, why is this on my list?
Not interested. I know.
Yeah.
It's about
our
the same
taste
thing.
Change.
Yeah.
They go around.
You ain't kidding.
You ain't kidding, Jerry.
You ain't kidding.
All right, Jerry, I've got to go to the dentist today.
That's never fun.
Yeah, just a checkup, but I don't know. I always feel awkward.
But you're related
there.
To your dentist.
Yeah. Well, he's my brother-in-law.
Right. So he's not going to screw you.
Well, but in these in this situation, like somebody else will clean my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pops in at the end, looks at my x-rays. Goes say,
but he's not going to do anything unnecessary to you.
No, he was not.
I feel like, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I do feel like in this day and age, they do whatever they want.
Yeah.
We got to do this filling, that filling, this. I never had an issue with my teeth ever until I started going to this new place, which I love. I do. But it's like every time I go, you got to come back for this. Why? Nothing's bothering me. I feel fine. Okay. Yeah. The place my kids went to, They put, real quick, I don't got to go. They put braces on my older son. They were supposed to be on for 5 years. 2 years in, he had his seizure, and in the hospital, they had to get them off because they had to do testing, and they couldn't have the... They took the braces off in the hospital with pliers and did what they had to do. And it's like, I said to the doctor, I'm like, his teeth are going to have to go back and get those braces put back on. And Matthew's like, I ain't getting them back on. And the doctor goes, well, his teeth look fine. So we bring him back to the dentist. They're like, yeah, no, you're good. But if that didn't happen, we would have kept going every 4 or 5 months to be checked. They would have said, oh, everything's coming along great. And they would have kept them on for 5 years. Meantime, my younger son goes, 6 months ago, like, yeah, we're going to do braces, we think. We'll give you the number of the... I didn't agree to do braces. Time out. So I brought him somewhere else. They looked at his teeth. They're like, braces. It's fine. You don't need braces. Like, oh, so I was just going to spend $6,000 to put wires on my kid's teeth for what? And they make it like they're making the decision.
Yeah.
Hey, go F yourself. No, I'm going somewhere else for a second opinion.
Right. Second and third opinion.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. I had all these, like, my dental work that if I ever need anything done now, it's replacing old fillings.
Okay.
Because for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I was like, and my dentist said this of himself as well. He said, I think we both went to aggressive dentists. Hmm. Like, that even if there was, like, sometimes when I'm at the dentist, he'll go, let's put a watch on.
Yeah.
And he's got a tooth number.
That's what my dentist does now. She's great.
Yeah, yes. Got a watch on it. He believes that when he was a patient as a kid and when I was a kid, that those dentists were like, well, we'll fill that. Yeah. Like, that could turn into a cavity. Let's fill it.
So let's take care of it. We'll bill you more.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Instead of like, let's wait and see how this, or you know what? Give me a heads up. Like, oh, bottom left is, I'm going to be extra diligent bottom left.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think that's a lot of what it is.
Yeah.
And these bigger places now that have bigger rents, they're not like the mom and pop places. Man, they're going to bill you for anything they can.
Jerry, can I sue my former aggressive dentist from when I was a child?
Give it a
try.
Why not?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah. Well, if you figure that out, then try.
He's probably passed, Jerry.
Oh, sorry.
All right, let's do the warm-up show, because that was pretty good. So!
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pissed up perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry.
Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we do this on a Tuesday. What do you say, the Andy Scazzeri? Nice to see you as always. Nice to hear from you guys out there, too. It's Tuesday morning. Al Dukes, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Jerry.
Wearing your Met hat prominently on top of your head.
Yeah, this one, I like a knitted hat that has like a lining in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it itches my head, and I don't know if it's because I'm a bald head or just hats are just itchy material.
Boomer ski cap, same way. Perfect. Nice lining inside.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's very rare. It's very hard to find the lining. Yep. If you shop online, it's not even a feature that if the hat has it, it says it's like, it is a crapshoot, and I got this Mets hat for Christmas a few years back, and it has a lining in it.
And you look good. You're ready for Thursday.
And my Jets hat that I wear a lot, that has a lining in it, but it has seen better days, Jerry.
Time for a new one.
Time for a new one.
Understood.
Exactly.
Understood.
Jerry, why are, like, I saw the Ohtani stuff, and then I saw the reaction of people on social media.
I did not, so fill me in.
No one trusts anybody. Like, we're skeptical of everybody.
Yes, very much so.
Like, Ohtani came out and said that he, never gambled on sports,
mm-hmm.
didn't instruct his former interpreter to wire money to a bookie.
Right.
He says, this man's been stealing from me. He has told me lies.
Right.
I never bet on baseball. I never bet on any sports. I never asked anybody to bet for me.
Mm-hmm.
I never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. I didn't know this was happening. But no one seems to believe him.
No, because none of it, he might not be lying at all.
Yeah.
The problem is none of it adds up.
How so?
Well, they flip-flopped their stories within 12 hours. That's number one. At first it came out where the interpreter said that he loaned me money, and then I guess he acknowledged it, and then the attorneys came out and said, nope, it was stolen. That's not true. Then you find out it was $4.5 million to a guy who owed $4.5 million, yet only made $300,000 or $400,000 a year. Then we've got bookies calling us, telling us there is not a bookie on this planet that would give a guy who makes $300,000 a year that kind of leeway to fall that deep, even if he was friends with Shohei Ohtani, because you don't know if that guy's going to back him or not. We had people call in, and again, people that are in this life.
The bookie world, Jerry?
That we had bankers that called in and said there's no possible way a wire transfer of that magnitude could go through without personal consent from the account holder. That he wouldn't have access to make wire transfers like that of $500,000 or more. There's just a lot that doesn't make sense other than he saying, didn't know anything about it. So, and then you've got Pete Rose on this Matt Thrasher social media post, trying to be funny.
Back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
By the way, I got this phone call. Hundreds of times so far.
What does that mean?
Everyone like,
oh, hey, I did an interpreter.
hey, do you think Pete Rose? Yes. Well, Pete finally. And by the way, it looked like he was reading. Like he couldn't even memorize.
Oh, is that true?
Oh my God, it looks terrible on
That's
social
funny.
Media.
It sounds terrible.
Pete Rose. He looks like a zombie now.
Wow.
And he still wears a Reds hat.
Does he really?
What a weirdo. He's a weird dude.
He loves the Reds. Not
He's
the
just
Phillies,
a weird
the Reds.
Dude.
Agreed, yes.
He was on the Expos, too. That'd be cool. Wear an Expos hat.
Wear them all. That's what I... Make your own hats that have all the logos on them.
There you go. Like a Pete Rose career hat.
That's what I always say about the Hall of Fame. You put all the logos you played for.
That'd be a cool hat for, like, lids to put together.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Like the Dave Winfield hat. Mm-hmm. And it's got a Padre logo, Twins logo, Yankee logo.
Yeah.
And it says Dave Winfield on it.
I agree with you. And now we're in a day and age of everyone has their own... brand,
mm-hmm.
Why not make it more personalized? The teams make money. The player makes money.
Yes.
The company makes money.
Love it, Jerry.
Everybody's
Who do we talk to?
Happy.
Who's the CEO of Lids?
So let me ask, I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I don't.
I don't either. Let me ask you this, just to answer your question with a question, because I agree with you. Like, you know, we don't believe anybody. Sadly, in a lot of cases, there's a good reason why we don't believe them. But up until this point, Shohei Ohtani has done nothing but hit home runs, pitch relatively well, and he's been a good ball player, great ball player. McMonagle thinks the greatest thing he's ever seen, ever. I don't agree with that, but so be it. So let's say, for instance, I don't know. I'm coming up with something off the top of my head. I get into a car accident, but I say it wasn't me. I wasn't in the car. Don't know how it happened. And yet seven people call in and say they saw me in the car. or it was his car at the exact time he usually drives, or it was on the block I usually park on, and I got to work my normal time, but I never take mass transit. And then you say to me, what happened with the car accident? I don't know. I didn't drive the car. Like that's kind of what it is. There's all these different things that if you add them up, add up to a mess for him, other than the fact that he's saying, wasn't me. It's kind of like the song.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
This reminds me of, like, you know, Jerry, I watched a lot of crime documentaries.
Yeah, I've heard.
This is what we call circumstantial evidence.
No doubt, but a lot of it. That's the problem.
A lot of it.
That's why people don't believe. It's not one thing. It's several things.
All right, let me ask you this then. So we have a timeline of things that happened. We now have Shohei Ohtani coming out in his own words.
Yeah.
Telling you he did not do this. This guy's a liar and a cheat. Okay. Now, MLB, I guess, will do their investigation. The IRS will do their investigation.
For sure.
Do you think that MLB will do a fair investigation? In other words, now that we've got the denial from Shohei, this is a bad scene for baseball if he is lying.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think baseball will do a thorough, real investigation, or will get a sort of like, nah, he's good?
I think 30 years ago, the answer would be no.
That they'd cover it up?
I do believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can now, because you're going to have not only baseball and the IRS doing their investigation, you're going to have other online internet sleuths doing their investigation.
I love an internet sleuth.
But you know that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
And there's also, if he did anything or had any involvement in this, there will be some sort of, you know, electronic communication somewhere. At some point, there'll be a video of him or a picture of him at the bank. If this is true, there'll be text messages. So I do think the beauty of the electronic communication is, A, it proves you didn't do anything, but it can also prove you did. So I think we will learn, actually, what happened or didn't happen.
Man.
But I don't know that we'll know in the next couple of months. I think this is something that's going to hang over baseball at least until midsummer. The IRS is involved.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, this morning, and I saw the Ohtani stuff, and before I took to social media, and before I've listened to you so far, Jerry, for these 9 minutes or so, I was all in Ohtani's innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got me convinced he's guilty.
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying he's. But I'm not saying he's guilty. You asked why are people not believing him, and I'm telling you why.
Yeah, just well, it makes sense, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's.
I want
sucks,
to believe him,
especially if he didn't do anything.
Right,
but boy. You always say 2 plus 2 adds up to 4. In this case, it's 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 adds up to 12. Like, there's a lot there that just doesn't look right for him.
Man, we are going to get a future sports documentary on this for sure.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Hell, Craig got one.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, this is Shohei Ohtani, for God's sakes.
Man.
So, and it's just, it's so much money. If you, and I do believe with some of the people that called us last week, you heard some of those calls. If this turned out to be $200,000 worth of debts, I don't think I'd blink. But the fact that it's $4.5 million.
Yeah, but to a guy like Ohtani, why that seems like nothing.
To Ohtani.
Right.
Not to the interpreter that makes $300,000.
Mm.
That's my point.
Oh, right.
If the interpreter had gambling debts of $250,000, $400,000, okay, I guess. You get into $4.5 million. And that's 10 times what he makes in a year.
Well, how about this, Jerry? Let's say I am the assistant for Elon Musk.
Sure.
I'm Elon Musk's assistant.
Yep.
And I start, get myself into a gambling situation. And these guys know I'm Elon Musk's assistant. And they know Elon Musk has a lot of money.
Yes.
And they also know, even though I may not have told Elon Musk that I have a gambling problem, they know that if I get in trouble, I can go to Elon Musk and say, listen, I've lost a lot of money. If I don't pay them, they're going to say it's you. They're going to expose you even though you're not involved.
Yeah, sure.
Why could that be a case here where that guy ran up such a debt and the bookies know, hey, we'll just link you right to Ohtani and we got a whole big scandal, or give us the money.
So that's what me and Boomer were talking about last week, and that was what I said. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Like, for this to not be a big deal, is it possible that this bookie just knew that it was his best friend and figured, we'll let the debt go as far as it is because at the end of the day, it'll be Ohtani? you'd screen the calls. We had bookies calling up and saying, no chance in hell.
These bookies never dealt with a guy with that much money.
I have no idea. Al, I don't know. I said this isn't my world. I don't know. I can only take it from the people that were calling in that supposedly do this for a living. I don't know. But here's what I do know. It's $4.5 million. You better be damn sure that they're really, really close.
Yeah.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're out that money. I don't know. The whole thing stinks.
Yeah. I love a good scandal, though, Jerry.
You got one.
I got something to follow now. Now, do you think we're going to get any new information within the next week, 2 weeks, or are we pretty much where we're at right now?
I think this is a cloud that will hover over the Dodgers and baseball for the next couple of months. I think the next thing we'll find out is when some details emerge from the ongoing investigation. I don't think from MLB, but I think from the IRS.
Do you think we'll get any internet sleuths that provide us with some more intriguing things?
Yeah, I do.
Me too.
I really do. Those could be newspaper reporters.
Yeah.
That put news out on whatever it's TikTok or Twitter or wherever they do it. I do think that stuff's going to come out, and I don't even the stuff G was saying yesterday could all be made up. But if there's any truth to some of that other stuff, and I don't know that the coincidence thing works in those cases too. If they ever find out there's any truth to what he was talking about with the Braves staffer, which could be completely made up and could be real, who the hell knows?
It'll also be interesting to see what type of start Ohtani gets off to.
I agree. Yeah. Where's his head at?
Yeah.
Because he said at the end of his statement or conversation, whatever the hell you want to call it, he said at the end, I want to just get back to focusing on baseball now. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, ha-ha, that's funny. But then he ended it with, but I also understand it's an ongoing investigation. And, like, it's not over.
Hmm.
No, it's not. Then they're going to be coming at you.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious if, because there is a language barrier, if he'll be able to tune it out more easily than somebody who can, like, he can selectively get information as opposed to it being all around him at all times.
Yes. My question would be, is he on social media? And does he see it in his language from the Japanese fans?
Oh,
that's
I see.
Still, because he is still a megastar that are still following him.
Right, in Japan, you're right.
But you're right. He doesn't have to, he's not going to turn on SportsCenter and watch, you know, what's his name?
Scott Van Pelt.
Scott Van Pelt lead the, he's not going to watch it. Now, also saying he doesn't speak any English, I don't believe that. I think he even said, like in his statement, he said how his interpreter was telling the team in English,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, I didn't understand it, but I kind of got it.
Yeah, like he could pick certain words
yes.
out.
I think I know he doesn't speak fluent English. I'm not saying he does. You can't tell me after 6 years here and dealing with an interpreter and probably having some English lessons that he doesn't get some of the stuff. I'm not saying he couldn't, you know, speak for a half hour in English. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm sure he does understand phrases and certain key words.
It is crazy that we have different languages on the same earth. We should have one language.
You're right. One universal language.
Yeah. Just whatever, like, one's the easiest.
Just like the cavemen had a universal
language. Yeah. We grunted to each other.
Hyenas have a certain language.
Correct. Like
where they scream at one another.
Yeah, like all sorts of animals, they have their animal language. We are humans. We have so many different languages.
And there's like hundreds of different languages.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's one.
See, that I understood. If I were a caveman, I would know exactly what you meant. That means go whack that buffalo on the head. We need some meat.
We're hungry.
We're starving.
Right, we're doing the carnivore diet. Let's go.
Get some buffaloes over here. exactly.
Right, yes. Whatever you said. Right.
Right.
Meat. Meat. Meat.
Now that sounded like English. That's the first time a caveman spoke English.
Oh, boy. Well, meat. First time I did that anyhow.
Yeah.
We need anyway. Meat. So there's Ohtani
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You know what's so funny? Is how we will have days, and not that we agreed with you because there were games, but there wasn't a lot of salacious news on Friday. There are days when there's not even games, and there is, like, you'll come in, show sheet's thin.
Ooh.
Like, there's three things on it. Midsummer, All-Star break, there's nothing going on. You come in today, you got 19 different topics.
Right, we got a lot of items, Jerry. I see we got Ohtani stuff. We've got Giants and Jets stuff. We've got NFL stuff in general.
The Knicks put on a show last night.
Yeah, the Knicks.
Like, there's so much going on, and it happens all in one day.
Yes.
It really is fascinating.
It is very strange.
It sure is.
It's like when you have like a guy like me, Jerry, I've got a clear calendar. Most times I got nothing going on.
Right.
But you know damn well that if I've got a concert to go to on a Saturday night, which is very rare, that my family's going to do a kid's birthday party that day. Mm-hmm. And I got nothing to do all these other days, and then two things fall on one day.
Trust me, I'm dealing with that right now.
Sucks. Yes,
I know exactly what you mean. Anyway, tell us what you need to tell us, and then when we come back, we can get into the football, more base, whatever you want. Poor guy fractured his orbital bone last night, fell on a ball off his face.
What's that orbital, your eyeball?
Yeah, it's like right around your eyeball.
I don't want to talk to you about this Knicks DiVincenzo fella.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Okay.
On the other side, Jerry.
Sounds good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, just real quick before we, if you want to talk about Dante DiVincenzo in a second, just listening to that John Sterling clip there, as we have many times now, listening to him yesterday, Mets Yankees, him and Susan did the game on the Fan. He still sat, I know he's like 83. That voice is still amazing. Really, yeah, it is incredible.
Do you think he does workouts for it? Like voice workouts?
I think that's, you know, Boomer used to say Kevin Harlan used to practice things out loud to see how they sounded. I wouldn't be surprised if John Sterling didn't do a me.
La, 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 la.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The brown fox. La, la, la. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plains. La, 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 la.
I wouldn't be surprised. Or if he's doing home run calls. That ball is high. It is far. Yeah, I could see that driving to the ballpark.
Practicing.
And a good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Steinbrenner Field. Steinbrenner Field. No, I don't like that inflection.
Yeah. Let me try that again. Good afternoon.
Yes.
It is weird. If you like get up in the morning, you know, we get up very early in the morning, even those of you who strangely live with other people, you're not talking in the morning. And sometimes you get up, you're not talking, you get in the car. You don't speak till you get here. It's like, oh, my voice.
I do talk to the cats.
Yeah, I talk to my dog as well.
I do. That kind of
good point.
They follow me downstairs. Yeah. I do talk to them before I leave. But you're right. For the most part, it's a lot of listening and just silence.
Yes. I'm and sure then, Eddie talks to his dogs for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I talk to my dog while I'm walking her in public.
Sure. I don't think that's unusual.
I'll be like, oh, what are we doing over here at this house here? Yeah. Oh, a little adding another bedroom here. That Ooh. Might be a little strange.
He looks like he's going to take his pants off.
Let's stop here for a moment.
I don't think that's unusual at all.
Okay. I saw a headline, Jerry, that Dante DiVincenzo of the Knicks set the Knicks' single game 3-point record.
11 made three. He was 11 for 20.
Yeah, that's not that impressive. Legitimately. 11 is the all-time record? 11?
For the Knicks.
Yeah.
But this is a new thing, though. They didn't shoot this many threes up until like 5 years ago.
Are you sure?
So like when all these records are being broken and when you're talking about, you know, Steph Curry and the 3-point shot, my first thought is Michael Jordan never did this. No, they didn't, because they didn't shoot threes at this high rate. Like, all right, so let's do this. I can do this.
Like, what's the most threes Larry Bird ever had in a game? I'm going to look that up.
Bet you he never made more than 5 in a game.
What?
But I don't think he shot them.
What would I call that, Jerry? I'd go most three-pointers by Larry Bird?
Yes, in a single game, I would say. So if I'm going to go, I'm going to pull up a game from 19,
85.
He had Larry Bird had 7 3-pointers.
Okay, fine. 7. I'm going to say Knicks Celtics, okay?
Yeah.
Box score. This is from 1985.
Oh, I love 1985. You know that, Jerry. Yeah.
So let me see. All right, here we go. I got February 25th, 1986, Knicks Celtics. Now I'm going to pull up, Eddie, just pull my fader down just in case there's anything that pops up here. Now I'm going to pull up the box score from last night.
Oh, you're going to do a little compare and contrast.
Because I think this goes to the answer to your question. How many threes do you think were shot in the game last night between the Pistons and the Knicks?
Well, the one dude had 11 himself that he made. I'm going to say there were 33-pointers.
Shot or made?
Shot.
Okay. There were a combined for both teams. There were a combined 83-pointer shot last night.
80?
80. That's my point. The Knicks from three last night were 19 for 46. And the Pistons shot 10 of 34. Now, I haven't looked at this yet. Now I'm going to pull up this Knick box from 1986. Knicks Celtics. Here are your three-point attempts. Boston for the game, 2 for 4. The Knicks for the game. Hold on. I got the Celtics. Where are the Knicks? The Knicks for the game from 3, 0 for 5. It's a different game.
Wow.
So you can't compare and say, well, that's nuts, only 11. They never shot them like this until recently.
Yeah, I was expecting like him to have hit 23-pointers last night.
Then he'd have 66 points.
Yeah.
He had 40 as it was, but 11 threes is a lot. And, you know, the volume that gets shot, you want to make the case, that's all, I guess. But that's one guy that got – that's the other thing. Let's say he was a 50% three-point shooter, which he's not. I think he's in the mid-40s. He'd have to shoot to make 20 of them. He'd have to shoot 40 of them himself.
I always like when, like, trends change, yeah. Right? So now the NBA's – what year
– analytics.
Did the shift happen?
I don't know the year, but I'll tell you, with the rise in analytics – someone in some bedroom somewhere decided that the value of the three-point shot was so much higher than the mid-range jumper that they'd rather take more threes than take more twos. Because if you make 2 threes out of 5, you get 6 points. You make 2 shots out of 5, you get 4. Like, it's just the points add up quicker.
Was it Steph Curry who started
this? Steph Curry made it incredibly exciting. And I don't think he's the best player I've ever seen. He's the best shooter I've ever seen. And his ability to shoot from 40 feet out and make it look like it's a 10-foot jumper, I think people marvel at. So he, to me, changed the amateur game. Steph Curry made kids like my son, who at 9 years old was stepping back and hitting threes and didn't know what a layup was. And that, to me, ruined amateur sports, if you want to say. But I don't know what year it is, but I'm sure there's a line in the sand where you see the trend start to shoot up pretty quickly. Because there are teams, like, I love the Nets. You know that? I can't watch them anymore because that's all they do is shoot three-pointers. There's like no, I marvel at their ability, because if you ever got on a basketball court, an NBA three-point shot is a million miles away from the rim. I legit think if you and I shot 10 each, we might make 2 total. You might get one. I might get one. I'm not even sure you could reach. I know for me.
What if I threw it with one arm?
Well, with one arm, sure, but there'll be zero chance that goes in. I can do it if I get 2 steps of a start. I can't shoot an NBA range 3 like a catch and shoot. I can't reach. That's how far it is. So their ability is unbelievable, but I think the game sucks.
So then what happens? Then it trickles down to college?
Oh, yeah.
Then the college kids that are watching the NBA kids,
yeah, and
NBA
they're good.
Guys, then they're hitting them, and then the like your son are watching college and
guys like my son are watching Steph Curry
NBA, and then they want to do that shot.
So let's go back to the conversation yesterday about highlights and how kids are consuming the NBA on social media. My kids have consumed a ton of it on social media, and the YouTube highlights with Steph Curry that are out there, they look at it, they go out there and try it, and that's what it's become. Really has.
Plus, hard to defend, right?
To a certain extent. I mean, yeah, even if they're playing man-to-man, if you want to step out 10 feet behind the three-point line and shoot, they're going to let you shoot it.
Why didn't the remember when we talked about the Pistons back in the day? They beat up Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
They beat up Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. They should have just been like, oh, we'll just start shooting threes.
Yeah,
they should have defended. They should have come up with that then.
But they just didn't do it then.
Yeah.
It just wasn't that three. I remember as a kid, the 3-point shot was more of a, we're down, we need to start making some threes.
Yeah, we're desperate.
But that's not, the game was played, if you remember. Remember,
I watched sometimes in the 80s.
Remember Patrick Ewing?
90s.
Patrick Ewing used to post up on the low block. The Knicks would come into their set, lob it to Ewing, and he would either kick it out for a short jumper or he would play back to the basket into the paint and take on his man, you know, one-on-one. You don't see that anymore. Like, the center position's gone. It's all about guard play and shooting threes. Remember, also, Rutgers lost to Penn State. They scored 49 points. And I remember you the next day with CeeLo. You're like, 40 for the game? If you go look at games like that, the teams that don't score miss a ton of three-pointers. And it's just, that's it.
Yeah. So the three-pointer, Jerry, is making basketball boring.
I think so, yes.
Now, do they change?
I thought so.
You've mentioned here that NBA regular season, tough to watch, but the game changes.
They'll
in the
defend
playoffs.
In the postseason.
So will the postseason have less three-pointers as well or no?
No, I don't think so. But what you'll see is a lot more effort on the defensive end. You'll see more effort in transition. You'll see a chippiness to it. Kind of, really, it's the way the Knicks have played all year, and that's why I've actually enjoyed watching them. They give you a full effort. They'll get matched with that in the postseason. These other teams, they don't. They don't play at 100% during the regular season, and they sure as hell don't defend.
So overall, we should be impressed that Dante DiVincenzo hit 11 three-pointers last night because of what it used to be and what it is now.
Yes.
That's still an impressive record.
I think 11 threes, does it make him the greatest shooter we've ever seen? No. But he is a 40-something percent three-point shooter. He's pretty good at it, and he hit 11 last night.
Like, was Carmelo Anthony a three-point shooter?
Did he shoot the three? Yes. Carmelo, to me, was more of a slasher and a mid-range type of player, but he shot the three, yeah. But like, Kevin Durant is a good three-point shooter. But Kevin Durant is also the best mid-range jump shooter I think I've ever seen. I say Steph Curry's the best shooter from deep. Kevin Durant, inside of 20 feet, is like money, you know? But he's still a good three-point shooter. A lot of them are. It's just kind of the way it is now.
How far is that three-pointer?
For the NBA, is it 24.8? Does that... Can you check that? I'm going to say...
Just Google it.
I'm doing it right now.
I think 24 feet.
23 feet, 9 inches,
okay.
Jerry.
There you go.
Why wouldn't they make that a round number? 24
I don't know.
And 24 feet.
I don't know.
Or 23. 24. Doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Well, I guess because... I don't know. I'd be guessing. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be moved back, though, again.
Oh, is that right?
I think it has to be. I really do. And if not, they will add the 4-point shot at some point.
Way out there.
Which might be another 10 feet. And guys can make it. That's
from
crazy.
Half court.
It's going to look like Globetrotter games.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yes and no. You know,
spin the ball on your finger.
Here's why I would say no to that. I just told you what the Pistons shot. 10 of 34?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
That's the problem. So if I take, let me find a real quick before we take a break. If I find another bad game. All right, so like the Charlotte Hornets last night. So I'm just.
You're going to look at their 3 points.
9 for 32.
Man.
Like, that's a lot of clunks. Like, that sucks. It does.
That's 20 shots from downtown going bonk.
20 shots of nothing is what that is. And if you do this on a daily basis, I bet you will fall. Here's a good one for you. The Mavericks, in a win, they won the game. 12 for 42. 12 for 42, and they won.
30 missed three-pointers.
Yes. You think that's fun to watch?
No.
I think that's boring basketball. Now, they have Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, and so they made up for it. But 12 for 42? That's brutal. That's like 28%.
Yeah. I just look at it in numbers like, that was 30 three-pointers that missed.
Yes.
For one team.
Correct. And then the Jazz, who lost the game, they were 13 for 39. They missed 26 of those shots.
I mean, so that's a combined. So we missed 50-something.
Yes.
Three-point shots. Correct. Were missed in one game.
Yes. And in that game, you asked how many. You guessed that the Knicks and Pistons combined for 33 pointers last night that were shot. The Mavericks and the Jazz combined for 42 and 40, 81.
81
three-pointers. Threes shot. It's a different game.
Man.
And not great. All right, take a quick break. We got a lot more to do. We got Boomer and Geo. They cannot wait to get in here. There's so much to talk about. All that and more at 6 on The Fan.
Not ringing a bell for me.
The alarm?
No. When would this have been popular?
This is probably in the FM 106.3 era when you were maybe down there.
I never played the alarm.
Can I give you a couple others you might know?
Yeah, please.
What about this one, Jerry? See if you know this one. Going through some music from The Alarm.
No. Nope.
Of this one. They have a U2 vibe to them a little bit.
No. This has like an 80s movie vibe to it.
Come on, Jerry!
No. I tell you, you retweeted something I saw last night or the other night about the rap songs.
Yeah.
And
that was cool.
Yeah, how they were, I don't want to not say stolen, that's not the right thing, but sampled from other songs. They're identical.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about it, it was all this guy who put that together was all Dr. Dre stuff.
Yeah.
And it was all from like classical and early jazz stuff. That was the thing that was interesting. We know about hip hop and sampling and taking songs that were of a similar era. This was like grabbing stuff and sounds from
a long time ago.
Long time ago.
And it was so spot on.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was neat, to be quite honest. So, kind of cool.
Jerry, I was just watching some of this NCAA men's tournament action.
From last Thursday or last Friday? Saturday, Sunday?
Whatever CBS Sports Network is running now. And I noticed some guys like a loose-fitting jersey. Other guys, tight. What would you go with, you think, if you were a basketball player?
I always used to wear the undershirt under the jersey.
Patrick Ewing style.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say loose.
Yeah.
I think the more chiseled guys like tight-fitting.
Yeah, there was a couple dudes on Dayton that are like, those jerseys are like glued to them.
The softies like myself, a little loose.
Yeah, I think a little looser.
Absolutely.
One of those Rutgers, when you ever notice that? When you're
No.
You
the only thing I ever noticed was Cliff Amore, who is now in the transfer portal and leaving, but he went 4 years there. He used to wear really high shorts, and
like
I don't know why.
Up to his belly button?
No. I mean up to his upper thigh, like it was 1982.
Oh, he had like short shorts on.
Yes.
70s NBA style.
But I never noticed any of those guys wearing tighter jerseys. Mm. No, not so much.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what the philosophy
Seems
is.
Seems like you're very interested.
I am interested. By the way, I see this is going to be a confusing one for people, I believe. The NFL, Jerry, has banned the hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
And it will be a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching a bunch of clips of what the hip drop tackle is because it's somewhat confusing.
It's dragging a guy down, right? Basically.
They made it sound
with
like
your weight.
Yeah, like if you tackle a runner, like let's say from behind, and what you do is you leave your feet so that all of your body weight, like
can
normally
pull them down.
Yeah, like your legs would be supporting your weight when you're trying to tackle the dude. If you lift your feet off the ground, now all of your weight is on that dude, and you collapse him from behind and his legs give out.
What I don't understand is I saw John Mara talking to Mike Garafolo, and he asked him about this rule. And you know, and I think the idea is player safety, obviously. And yet all the NFL players that I see on social media are like, this is a joke. And mostly defensive players, because I think they feel so limited in how to tackle these days. Now you just took another tackle away. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's very it's going to be a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big penalty.
And you watch, they'll probably call it a lot to make their point in this first year.
Right.
So it's, you know, we're already at the point where you can't hit the quarterback unless it's between the nipples and the belly button, essentially. You can't go at the legs. Okay, fine. So that's a problem. You can't tackle a guy coming over the middle to make a catch because now it's a defenseless receiver, even though if you don't tackle him and he catches and stays on his feet, he runs for a touchdown. Now you've got a guy running down the sideline. You're behind him. You can't leave your feet, essentially. Like, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's very difficult as a defender.
And it happens so fast.
Right, that's the other thing.
You know, we get to watch it on replay 17 times. When it's happening in real game speed, good luck.
Yeah, it was almost, sometimes that hip drop tackle looks like when you pull a guy down by, what did they use, the horse collar?
Mm-hmm.
It looks similar to that.
They got rid of that.
Yeah. Man, you can't hit anybody in this league anymore, Jerry. But I feel like I could play in the NFL now.
But you know what you can do? You can grab a guy by the hair and pull him down.
That I like, but that's still in there.
Good Lord.
Yeah, if a guy's got long hair sticking out, pull that hair.
You can yank him down by his hair.
I could pull your jewelry right off you.
But don't grab him by the waist and pull him down from behind, no good. Essentially.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
So there was an interesting comment John Mara had on Brian Daboll, Jerry.
Okay.
And he said of Brian Daboll, quote, "There are times when I wish he would tone it down a little bit.
Mm.
But I'm also in the team meetings, and I see how he acts around his coaches in the office, and he always maintains his cool there." I guess he means on the sideline?
I would think during games? I mean, I think if you're the type of owner that's a fiery guy, you probably love it. John Mara seems very reserved.
Too reserved.
All jokes aside, kind of like me, as a coach, I'm not a yeller and a screamer. I don't like that. Never liked being screamed at. I'd rather be actually shown what's wrong and how to fix it. So that's how I've always coached for the most part. My guess is it's just not his personality, so you'd probably like him to tone it down a little bit. But at the same time, just go win. Just go win. And whatever it is, and as long as you're good to your employees and around the building, it's fine.
Right, as long as you're not a maniac screaming on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, think of how much we all loved when he yelled at Daniel Jones on the sideline.
But
that
why did we love it?
Because
what happened after that?
Did he do better?
It was in Tennessee. It was the season opener a couple of years ago. He just threw a horrific interception in the end zone. Daboll got up in his face, said what he had to say, and then Daniel Jones went out there and won the damn game and played well. And so the next day you come in here and say, we love that, because he made clear what had to happen, and Daniel Jones was accepting of it and took it and ran with it.
Hmm. I'm also seeing this J.J. McCarthy now. Everyone's like, but there's so much talk now, like he's going to be the second quarterback to go behind Caleb Williams.
We have this conversation every year. Who knows?
Like what?
I don't know.
Like the college games ended.
Mm-hmm. Months ago. Mm-hmm.
What all of a sudden is, like, they go, Jim Harbaugh says he's the best quarterback. Mm-hmm. So now we're just going to, everyone's changing their draft.
Why did the Jets
take
Zach Wilson where they took him?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I thought Sean Marash had a good point on Twitter. I think I saw it. He said if Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy so much,
why doesn't he take him? Trade Justin Herbert.
Right, you could get a boatload for Justin Herbert.
Yes, you could.
And then take J.J. McCarthy.
You ain't kidding.
Great point.
We got to go. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Get you Boomer and Gio right now. Odyssey Sports Minute. Amy Lawrence, Shohei Ohtani.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
I'll get about 15 seconds. Go.
Jerry, I'm looking at my calendar, March 26th. This was the day that RFK is supposed to pick his running mate.
I thought we found out last week who that was going to be, the woman, right?
Oh, that's
we
a done deal?
We talked about that. That's what I thought.
I thought he said March 26th. I had it on my calendar.
Officially, but I thought there was...
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.